It's an industry that I generally love. I have a passion for. I eat, sleep, I live for fitness.
No, you need to be obsessed. You need to wake up, think about it. You need to go to bed, think about your clients, think about your progress, think about what you can do better.
Genuinely, like, just be like patient and take your time. Like that is like, you've got to take it all in the right steps. You've got to nail what you do in person before you go online.
I don't like to talk about fear. The fears is usually something that makes your worries real.
You are listening to the Coaching Ignited Show, where we bring you stories and insights from coaches, fitness professionals, and industry experts to help you expand your business and reach your goals. If you're a new listener, thanks for joining us. My name is Alex Povey. You can subscribe to the podcast on all your favorite apps, including Spotify and iTunes. The Coaching Ignited movement is on a mission to help coaches and personal trainers increase their sales and reach their full potential. If you wanted to find out more, please head over to coachingignited.com. And if you wanted to connect with us on social media, all the details can be found in the show notes. Now let's get into today's show. On this week's podcast, we've got Mike Madden on the show, and this is going to be a great listen for any trainer who's either starting their own journey or just looking to the future and thinking what's next. And Mike had a humble beginning where he talks about escaping the 9-to-5 world and pursuing a career in fitness. And after spending many years working as a PT and building a comfortable business, Mike stumbled upon CrossFit. And from there, he decided to take it to the next level and open his own facility in the northwest of England. And he's created an awesome space, guys, which I went to see a couple of months ago, and it is packed full of energy. And Mike shares what he has learned along the way, and I'm sure there's something for everyone to take away from this show. So I hope you enjoy this one, guys. So today we've got Mike Madden on the show with us, who's a CrossFit gym owner based over in Stretford in Manchester. So I just want to say thank you so much for joining us on the show, Mike. I really appreciate it.
Hey, no pops, buddy. Nice to speak to you. It's good to catch up.
So I just want to kind of start like from the beginning, really, about how you got started in the fitness industry, because obviously it's a lot different, your role now, as it was when you first started. So it'd be interesting to kind of know where it all began. What was that spark for you?
Oh, God, mine was like a personal journey type thing. I'm sure there's loads of PTs out there and gym owners and stuff that started where I was. But at 16, I left sixth form college, didn't like it, and got a job in financial services. Started as a junior apprentice there and built myself up. So by the age of like 22, I was training to do my CMAP, my CFA courses, just basically getting ready to be a financial services advisor, but also I did a lot of business development working with IFAs and things like that. So IFAs are independent financial advisors. And to be honest, mate, I was sat there at a desk every day, hating life, just wanting to shoot myself in the face. I just didn't like it. Sat at a desk all day for me just was not my thing. So basically, I wasn't a really fit dude at school. I had the capabilities. I was always one of those people that just didn't really get engaged at school. So kind of when PE was on, I wasn't there. So I never kind of truly found where I needed to be. So about 22, really good friend of mine that sat across the desk from me, he was like, Mike, you really need to sort yourself out. Like I was back in the day, I was like 9 stone, so like 60 odd kilos, early 70s. And I just kind of fluctuated around. I was a really small guy. I'm 5'9", so that weight for me was really light. And he said to me, just come over to play football with us. And it was like basically our office at the time did a 5-a-side. And I jumped in with those guys. And 5 minutes into the match, I had to go and run to the toilet to be sick. Couldn't do the rest of the session. And from there, my mate was like, right, you need to start training with us. So I suddenly went to the gym with Chris, was a bit out of my comfort zone, and just fell in love with the process. Literally just got obsessed with it. So I was working this professional office job. I came suited and booted every single morning, and I started going to the gym before work, started training. At one point, then I was going straight after work, really got really into it like you do when you're younger and you've got all that recovery time and you can bounce back.
Yeah.
So that's where my journey kind of began. And basically, I was being geared up to have this professional job in the financial services industry and just would get obsessed with gym and training and started researching it. So instead of like speaking to my customers on the phone some days, I'd just be online reading articles, pulling up as much data as I could. And then one day there was rumors that the redundancies were coming up, and I was like, you know what, hands up, I'll take that, I'll go. So I was 22, I was on 20 odd grand a year plus bonus, I was on a really good wage, and a job came up at a local gym to me, Total Fitness, and I took a gym instructor job at 11 grand a year, really small wage, and just started from there. But it was like the best decision ever made, obviously looking back now. But at the time, it was quite scary. I'd just met, well, who my wife is now, my girlfriend back then. She was, you know, like, do you want to do this? She just started uni. But yeah, it was the best decision I made. I just started doing the health checks at the gym, got really involved in it. I had a really good work ethic because I'd worked in a professional environment for so long, because a lot of gym instructors tend to be a little bit younger. Even at 22, 23, I was a little bit older when I went to that gym because all the other instructors were a little bit younger. So I didn't mind getting my hands dirty, scrubbing treadmills or whatever. But I think from there, I basically got involved with the gym manager at the time, a guy called Tom Colleen. He's a fantastic gym manager. I think he's still about doing the same job. He's been all over the place. And he taught me a lot about the fitness industry from a kind of running perspective and engaging clientele and, you know, engaging them. And I'd already had a lot of sales experience because I was a business development manager in financial services. So I immediately was put in a role of everybody that joined the gym. And I was in a gym with like 8,000, 10,000 members. Basically I just said to him, anybody that needs a new plan, anybody that needs a health check, send them my way. So I got very good at interviewing people, asking them the questions, making sure that the health was, you know, like health checks were done and things like that. And it gave me a really good audience to start start building up a business. So within 12-18 months, I'd done all the usual, you know, gym PT level 2, level 3 gym instructors, done a couple of extra courses. And I took the plunge. I went self-employed at the same gym, started paying a rent. Just kind of started off from there, really. That's where my whole journey began.
So in terms of like the personal training, how long did you spend doing that? And sort of how quickly did it sort of progress into like having a healthy client base? And did you stay at the same gym throughout the whole of your kind of personal training career?
So for me, I started personal training almost immediately because, I mean, it's that fine line, isn't it? Because, you know, I always say there's a big difference between a coach, PT and gym instructor, and there should be, but there's a very gray area in terms of if you're just coaching people one-to-one, then, you know, you could almost call that personal training. But, you know, I'd argue that there's a lot more to it because of all the lifestyle stuff and things from there. So, I was probably coaching people one-to-one immediately, but in terms of personal training people and becoming a personal trainer, it was like I said, a good 12 months into my gym instructor job where I took the plunge and then just signed a contract to start paying rent. And that was a big scary time for me because all of a sudden I'd gone from earning, even though it was a small wage as a gym instructor, I had to now go to basically paying 800, 900 quid a month. So it was like way more than I didn't have a mortgage back then. So it was more than my monthly payments to my flat and whatever. So, you know, that was a big jump for me. But in terms of gaining a healthy business, I got it up really quick. And I think it was because I was at a gym that I'd already been working at. I'd built up this massive clientele of people that were already gym members and knew me. And I've still carried it on to this day. The gym that I own now, if I walk in the gym and I see people, I immediately just go over to every single person and just say hello and just engage in a very small talk with everyone, just to let everyone know I'm in the building. And I did that at Total Fitness. So I just, if I was in the gym, I'd walk up onto the gym floor and I'd just say hello to everyone and let everyone know I was there. And I think that's just really important, you know, if anybody was like starting out in the fitness industry, because it's your communication skills that kind of build your business originally. So I don't care how qualified you are. And I know some really highly qualified people that didn't make it. It's like it's your people and social skills, first of all, that create those engagements. So then you can showcase your skills from there. And I think that's why I got really lucky because I had a business development background. I'd also started some free classes at Total Fitness. So there's still a circuit class at that gym because I know it's still going. I've had some clients that have been PTing with me now for 12 years and they still go to that same circuit class that I set up for free all those years ago. So I had, you know, 7 o'clock in the morning on a Wednesday, I had like mainly men, but a few ladies. And basically we had like 8 to 15 people turn up at 7 a.m. and I'd coach them. And then when I announced that I was personal training, one or two of them already said, "Do you know what? I'd quite happy to do some of that with you." And that's where I built up my first clients. Then they referred the wives, the partners, And I've always just done really, really well on referrals because I got to know people in my local area. And I've kind of lived around the same place my whole life.
It's interesting what you said about like making yourself known and kind of not expecting that the clients are just going to come to you, because I see a lot of people make that mistake where they just assume if they've got a great physique or they've got all the good qualifications that people are just going to come flocking. But in reality, business just doesn't work like that. Do you see all these mistakes with trainers as you have been through the industry, and do you still see that now as well?
Yeah, I do. I mean, it's such a different industry now to even when I started like 13 years ago, because it's just so in your face now with Instagram and with Facebook, where it was kind of like, I remember me and my wife laugh about it. Like, we started dating and Facebook hadn't even launched it. It was MySpace. So the way, I'm long in the tooth now. So Hotmail and all that kind of stuff. That's what we used to chat on. So the way you interact with people is so crucial, and everybody's doing Instagram. Everybody's like posting up what they're eating and how they're training and stuff. But I don't think they're really kind of just looking at it from a very simple point of view, is unless that person's like really attracted to how you look or the way you kind of, your lifestyle's positioned online, that doesn't really kind of give you any longevity. You're just ticking the boxes that a current trainer needs to do in terms of, you know, making sure you've got a social media profile, which, by the way, I am terrible at. I need to get so much better. I run our social media on the gym, and I've got a girl that helps me, luckily, because it's something that's just like, again, because I've been doing it a little bit longer, I just need to get better at it. But I know lots of people have really good VAs and posting structure and stuff now. But yeah, going back to the point, like, you just need to be able to learn to speak to people. And I've known some really intelligent people that were fantastic trainers, but they just couldn't make any money out of the industry. And it was literally just because they couldn't have those conversations. And if you can't chat and relate to that person, then that person's not going to open up and kind of give you kind of their heart and soul when they come to train with you. They're just going to kind of buy that 8-week package, 10-week package, or whatever you're selling, rather than kind of, you know, some of these people that I've been speaking about, a couple of them have been to my wedding, you know, they've been around to my house for dinner, and I've known them for over a decade now. And those relationships are forged on trust. And, you know, it takes a long time, rather than, oh, look at my six pack, you know, I'm looking really lean today, guys, why don't you come in and train with me? It's like, that's such a different message to just sitting down, having an honest conversation with that client in front of you and go, right, where are you at? Where do you need to be? And just being able to relate to them as well. So you've got to kind of pick, you know, everybody when you first start, because you're so desperate for money, because, you know, especially when I first started, to pay that rent, you were so under pressure, you'll take all the clients on. But you hopefully want to build your business to a point where you basically want to attract the clients that you want to work with and the types of people that you want to work with. Because I think that's really important, rather than just trying to take on any client you can. And I think you should have a broad spectrum of clients to give yourself as many tools in your box as you can. But you've got to be talking to people that can talk back to you. Because if you're just basically telling people what to do every single week and they're not listening to you, it's that communication piece that is missing.
Yeah, it sounds like you had like a pretty smooth rise in the industry because of the way it played out. But if you could think back, can you think of any like maybe big mistakes that you did make that you thought, looking back, I shouldn't have really done it that way? And maybe it'll be a good insight for other personal trainers not to make that same mistake when going into the industry.
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, you look back now, and I mean, I pulled up one of my own training diaries for every single client when I first started. I gave them all an A4 book, and I made them come to every session with it, and we wrote in the books. And I keep hold of all those books. I've still got them at home. Some of them I was reading through the other day, and I was looking at the programs and things like that. And I think the big thing, you know, I don't want to sound like an old man. I'm only 38, but, I've got a 2-year-old now with my wife's 32 weeks pregnant. So we've got a kid on the way. You get a lot of different perspective on the way. So if I look at some of the big mistakes I made, it was when I got drawn down some of the paths. And even in my early days of CrossFit, because obviously you guys, well, hopefully everyone knows that I own a CrossFit gym and it's CrossFit 3D. Before my CrossFit days or before then, like if I got really into something, I'd kind of force it down on my clients' throats. You know, like that was one of my big mistakes, I think. And I think I lost a few clients along the way because I wasn't open enough just to sit down and actually listen. And I think with a little bit more age and experience, it's basically just listening to your clients and what they need and hopefully having a qualification and a skill set to actually match those, or maybe just being able to say to people, no, I'm not the trainer for you. You need to go and work with somebody else. So I think the big mistakes I made early on was things like that. It was, oh, I'm really into paleo right now. Paleo is everything. If you're not eating like a caveman, you're getting it wrong. And you, these supplements, these are the best supplements. And I see so many young trainers doing that. And I'm like, George, you know, just sit back a bit. Maybe your client's not ready for that. Maybe you just need to work with them at their level. And I think that's kind of one of the key mistakes. You know, when I bring on junior trainers at my gym now, I'm just making sure I'm like, just sit back, listen a little bit, and kind of plan your strategy based on that client. You know, if you only have your strategy and your system, the way it works, well, a system's only going to, it's only so robust, isn't it? Because there's always going to be flaws in your system. If you can only teach a certain thing a certain way, well, then you can't help everybody. So I think that's kind of, that's where I see most people make the mistake. And then the second big mistake that I see people making is not being really strict when they first start out with treating your business like a shop. And this is what some of those, you know, I've had some really good PT mentors that have really helped me and are still in the industry now, really fab guys and girls. And what I mean by that is you can't work 12, 14 hour days. Everybody thinks, yeah, embrace the grind, do all these hours. But what I see with new trainers is they do a 6 a.m., 7 a.m. slot with a client. And then I see them back in the gym at 7 p.m., 8 p.m. at night. And I'm like, yeah, dude, you know, like, that is only going to last so long. Like, you are going to burn out. I mean, I got to the point, I only do about 15 PTs in terms of hourly PTs per week now. But, at my, you know, at my peak, I was doing over 40 per week. And that was a proper burnout for me. It was taking on too many and taking on too many hours, because you just get to the point where you're just not delivering what you should be. And if you really want to have some longevity in this business and you want to be respected and you want to have good clients, then just delivering really crappy sessions because you're so tired or you're just kind of doing too much to not give that client what they need. I would much rather see somebody only have 5 or 6 hours and charge the appropriate hourly rate and build up from there, rather than lower their hourly rate to work all the hours God sends just to try and build up this business, which isn't maintainable. Because I don't care how good you are or how strong or how, you know, your work ethic is, you are going to burn out at some point if you do this. Because when you start coaching people, it's all about just giving them everything that you've got for that hour. And that can be so tough over time. So, you know, for me, and I was taught very early, okay, if you're in at 6 a.m. in the morning, what time are you closing your shop? So, you know, for me, I'd be done by lunchtime. And if you couldn't get in before lunchtime, then I just couldn't train you that day. And then I'd tell you my opening hours for the week. And if I couldn't get you a slot within those opening hours, sorry, I can't help you. And I think that's kind of...
Yeah, it's just like knowing your limits as well and not just like overextending yourself.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that every trainer out there is young, because I know plenty of trainers that are middle age and they've got a lot to offer and a lot of life experience their way, and they're coming into the industry. But, you know, ultimately, we've all got commitments. We've all got stuff that we need. And also, it's just really important to get yourself out the gym, even if it's at somebody else's gym just to train on your own, or whether it's just to go out for a walk or whatever. Like, you, if you want your business to last, then, you know, you've got to have enough time to educate yourself and carry on your CPD. But you've also got to have enough time just to go out there and do little bits of stuff that you like to do. So you don't kind of resent being at work, because, you know, most of us, including myself, we should be in this job because we've got a passion for it. We really love it. Not because we basically just want to make some money. Because I tell you what, there's so many better industries to make cash. Like, this is a hard industry to make good cash, where you could make it so much easier in other ones. But what this industry is, it's a lifestyle choice. It's a lifestyle business where you have, you know, I get to have loads of time with my daughter, which is really, really important to me. And I get to have a lot of time with my friends and family. And I think that's the way I run my business. I didn't just come in there to make cash, because, like I said, there's easy ways of doing that.
Is that why you changed what you were doing then? Because you're a personal trainer, right? And you were doing well. Like, what was the shift? Or the thought process of opening a gym, is that something that you've always wanted to do, or were you chasing that type of lifestyle that you just mentioned, because it gives you that lifestyle?
Well, that's a long story, and most of it I'll chat to you about. There's lots of politics and whatever else that goes into your life and your span of, and all your business choices, but I never actually saw myself opening up at a gym, never. 2008, I found this thing called CrossFit, which I'm sure most people know about now. It's absolutely huge. But back in the day, it was just this site where it posted up workouts every day. And I watched this workout tutorial, and it's actually one of the big benchmarks of CrossFit. It was a Fran video. And I watched the these two athletes going at it, and I was like, oh my God, like, that is unbelievable. I really want to do that. And from there, basically started reading and researching a little bit about CrossFit. I got into it for a short while. Didn't go to a CrossFit gym. I was still doing it in my mainstream gym that I was working at and PTing at the time. But one of my mentors, really, one of my lifelong mentors as a coach, which is James Jousey. The guy is just an unbelievable trainer, manual therapist. He's just, yeah, he's the guy. And he basically, when I walked into this gym as a PT, self-employed, I had 10 other PTs to compete with, if you're going to call it competing, because I've always been like, you know what, just crack on and do your own thing and everyone's got the niche. But I had, you know, I had a good up to 10 trainers at that point on the gym floor, but James really stood out to me. And a lot of that was he was taking on that new approach that people, you know, everything was, in my gym, it was like everybody was on the treadmill as a warm-up and then basically went into the free weight section and did a little bit of stability ball training. And everybody was big onto Paul Check and Charles Poliquin and everything else. And that was kind of the route every and the path everyone was going to when I was a PT. And James was just, you know, it was about the time that you remember the 300 film came out.
Yeah.
And everyone's starting to go up for that more athletic lean look and, you know, just basically a little bit more, you know, where this functional fitness movement came from. And James was kind of really living that movement. And I remember watching him training this guy and he was throwing this ball against the wall and squatting down and he was doing all these mobility things. I was like, dude, what are you doing? And I kind of just followed this guy and shadow. I was like, do you know what? Of all these trainers on this gym floor, that's the guy I want to emulate or kind of work towards, because that was like, so I was very lucky that maybe I just fell into that gym where James was. And I'm sure there's loads of trainers in every gym that kind of inspired other trainers. But yeah, he was definitely the big kickstart for me and kind of knowing my path and where I wanted to be.
So how did that turn into opening an actual gym? Like, how did you go through that process of going, right, so now I'm going to open a gym?
Yeah, so basically I meet James, we get into CrossFit, he starts personal training me. I was PT at the gym, he starts personal training me. I started working for a kettlebell federation, the RKPS, and I was a faculty instructor. So I was basically going up and down the country, training trainers on kettlebell instructions, level one, level two, things like that. And James introduced me to a guy called Carl Stedman, who's a flow master for Europe. So if you ever do a CrossFit level one, level two, Carl's your man that's basically going to probably run the show and teach you all about CrossFit. He was one of the first guys in the UK to set up a CrossFit gym. So he's one of the longest guys in the UK to do CrossFit. So James introduced me to Carl, and Carl wanted me to basically come in there and teach a kettlebell class. And I was quite happy to do that. At the time, the CrossFit vibe for me was just a little bit of extra on top of my training. So I did a little bit of CrossFit on top of my usual mainstream gym activities. But then I walked into Carl's gym, CrossFit 3D. He'd just been setting it up. It was literally setting up, but it was kind of halfway through. And I just fell in love with the facility as soon as I walked in. All the videos that I've been watching of CrossFit online in America and these, you know, because it's only been about 10 years before people started actually setting up gyms in these industrial units the way they are now. It's so popular. And this was one of the first ones in the UK. And I walked in, I was like, wow, this is unbelievable. This is such a different environment. I was sick of being told off in Total Fitness and other gyms for like doing the movements that I was doing with, like, you know, teaching people Olympic weightlifting and all the other stuff. And I met Carl. He really taught me a lot about CrossFit, and I started working. I basically just became a member of CrossFit 3D. From being a member at CrossFit 3D, started becoming a trainer. I was already a trainer outside, so I was going to my mainstream gym, paying the rent there, coming to Carl, working for him, and really got into it. As CrossFit expanded and grew, Carl was basically at a point where he had to make the decision whether he wanted to expand or stay as he was, because a lot of bigger affiliate gyms were opening up and we were the typical size of like a 3,000 square foot unit. And a lot of gyms were starting to open up much larger ones and being able to offer more than just CrossFit classes. So, you know, the big thing with CrossFit gyms now is, can you do some open gyms? So it's just access to the facility all day. So it was at that point I was asked by Carl to start managing the gym, because he was so busy doing the level one seminar stuff. It was taking him away pretty much every weekend. So I started managing the gym. And then we made a decision as a team and a couple of the members got involved. And we said, well, let's do it. Let's expand. Let's make Graffiti bigger. Let's make it better. And we basically expanded the facility to where we are now. So that was 5 years ago and a bit. We signed up in that facility. At that point when we moved from the old facility to the new one, I invested some money into the business and became a shareholder. So from there, I went from just being a PT to shareholding. I moved all my business over from Total Fitness, where I was paying rent, to stop paying rent and moving into the CrossFit gym and basically becoming a coach, instructor, and shareholder and managing the gym. And that kind of process evolved. And over that time, over the last 5 years, about 3 years ago, Carl stepped down from being a major shareholder at 3D. And I took on those shares and then just became basically the shareholder and the person in charge of CrossFit 3D as it is now. So we're on our ninth year going in now. And it's been a long road and we learned a lot along the way. But, you know, it's an amazing facility. I've got an amazing training team. And looking back, you know, going back to your question, I don't even know how it started, mate. It just basically different opportunities came around. And, you know, I never envisaged myself. And if I'm honest with you, it's really tough being a manager of a facility because for me, I'm a coach. You know, I really just like coaching people. That's what I do best. So learning how to operate systems and memberships and, you know, like I've literally this morning, the most glamorous job that I do 3 times a week now, hands in the toilet, just literally cleaning toilets, you know, cleaning cobwebs, making sure toilet rolls are up to date and making sure your staff are happy, making sure they're all being developed, making sure the facility is happy, making sure your members are happy. Then trying to do your self-employed job because I'm still self-employed. Well, I've got a limited company now. I've changed from being a sole trader to a limited company on my PT side. And I run that on long time, the limited company, which is CrossFit 3D.
Awesome. So it happened like that, hey?
Yeah, I mean, I could stretch that story out, but yeah, that's pretty much in a nutshell. You know, so you look back and you're like, wow, how did I become an owner of a gym? It just kind of happened. And, you know, the moment I walked in CrossFit 3D, I fell in love with the place and I still love the place now. The member, you know, some of the members have become very, very close friends of mine. You know, one of the members is also one of the shareholders, Ed. You know, his son is my godson. And, you know, those things are really important to me because
it just means that family feel as well. Because that's kind of what a CrossFit gym is, isn't it? It is like a family. And you all like train together, go out together, like your friends, your family. It's more of a community based type setup, isn't it, really?
It is. It's so different to the mainstream gym. I mean, my bread and butter was the mainstream gym. I can walk into, we call them Globo gyms now at CrossFit. In dodgeball, Globo gym. So, you know, I can walk into a mainstream gym and I'm so comfortable still in that environment, even though I don't really like that environment anymore. Because for me, I think with the big thing that those gyms are missing is that community vibe because people just don't feel attached to those gyms. People are basically going into those gyms now based on price. And that's a really scary point because prices never increase because the service is better. They decrease and they get to the point where, you know, most of the big gyms around me now are like £15 a month.
Yeah, they're all the budget ones like Pure or Fit for Less or that's what it is. It's basically a price war and it's kind of devaluing fitness.
No, totally. And I've got some really good trainer friends that have been like really long standing. I mean, even longer than me. Like one of my old coaches, Paul, who owns Olympic Gym just around the corner from where we are. Like that guy's been in 30 years in the industry and he's got so much to share. And his gym is like absolutely fantastic. And, you know, he's just being bombarded left, right, and center by these £15, £20 a month gyms. And, you know, the big thing that separates us and Paul's gym to those is just like, you've got coaches that just really like, and I don't mean the coaches that work in mainstream gyms aren't like us. Every single coach that I met, the passion that they come through, but the actual facility of these 15 quid a month gyms, there's no soul there. Like, there's really just that community vibes missing for me. And some people don't want that. Some people just want to go in, put the headphones on and train. Absolutely fine. But for me, like, and a lot of the people I train are looking for more than that, but looking for a coach that's going to help lead them through the way, somebody that's just going to basically, you know, we always say to our members, like, make this the best hour of your day when you come into our gym. You know, it don't just put so much pressure on yourself. Like, I need to get better at this. I need to get better at that. You know, let us handle that. That's what we do. That's our job. Your job is to come in, sweat, have fun, high five some people, go home. Because we'd obviously do that cheesy thing of high fiving at the end of every session. But I think that's a really strong, absolutely. And people hate it. I don't care. It's a really strong message at the end. Like, everybody leaves off the floor, we all go for the same thing and we leave. And I think that is one of the biggest and most important things.
So in terms of like your gym, like how do you go about hiring people? in terms of like, you've got trainers there, right, who help you run the classes, but they've also got the facility to run their own coaching if they want to. How do you go about finding these guys? Where do you get them from?
So very lucky again, like I said, but when I first met Carl, because Carl worked for CrossFit Level 1, for CrossFit, teaching the Level 1, Level 2 seminars, you know, and he's one of the first guys in the UK. So he built up that reputation, and, you know, 3D has that legacy because of Carl, and me stepping in there and running that gym, we still got that legacy now. And, you know, it's a really good legacy to try and keep going. And for all that, we get a lot of inquiries from coaches. You know, we haven't got that many jobs to give to people, but when that one special CV comes in, you're looking, you're like, oh, you know what, that person's, you know, I've got to interview him. And that's kind of where we are. If, you know, if people walk in off the street and inquire, you know, we try and go for now. We have PTs that rent space at our place, and, you know, they're nothing to do with the coaching team, but they run their own business from it. But my actual coaches is more of, right, come in, let's have a look. Right, cool. I've had a look at your CV. You sound really good. Let's have a chat. We have a chat, and the biggest thing that I say, so you know, I could look at your CV now or anybody else's, and I can see all these amazing credentials. But like what we began on the podcast for me is, I don't care about your credentials. Let me have a chat to you, because if I don't find you personable, if I don't find that you know you're going to have this great personality, and people are going to really vibe off you, I'm probably not going to employ you anyway. I don't care how good your qualifications are, because it's more about that communicator piece for me. That's his, you know, quite a lot of trainers have come and gone over the way. And some of the big CrossFit coaches that I've worked alongside have always said, you can't teach, I won't say that, I don't know what I swear on your podcast, but they always say, you can't teach give an F. And you obviously know what that word means, but you can't teach that. You know what I mean? Like you either give it or you don't. And I think for most people, if you walk off the street and have an interview with me, I want to know how much you care about it, how much you want to do that as a job. I don't really care that you did this and this course on top. They're important to me because your qualifications are, but that's going to get your interview with me anyway. So basically qualifications will get your interview. So they're important. But after that, it's going to be your people skills from there and that kind of what you've got to offer. And if I think you're going to be a crucial part of our training team, which is going to be basically delivering a high value service with, you know, a high competency, but also just being able to be a great communicator, then that's going to go a long way to get the job at 3D.
Yeah. I think there's another little lesson in there as well, is basically be yourself. Don't try and be someone else. Just be genuine, be authentic, be yourself, and allow people to see the real you. And if they like you, great. If they don't, then someone else will. Unless you're an absolute
dick. Totally. You don't have to work somewhere. If that place of work doesn't fit you and your belief and your core beliefs as a trainer, then don't work there. Don't sell your soul short. There's so many other places. There's so many opportunities. But, you know, for all my guys, I sit down with them regularly. We've just had some big team meetings recently. And I've just been like, you know, every single person that's on my gym floor at the moment really wants to be there and really cares about my members. And it really shows, because the members think a lot of them. You know, we've got our Christmas do coming up on the 15th, and we'll have a big turnout of members. Everyone gets together. You know, we've already organized like a Christmas breakfast the week before. And like I said, you know, I know we're a CrossFit gym, so we do that community piece. But even if you just bring that down to your individualized one-to-one coaching thing, that's just so important.
So I know you're like busy, like you've got loads of stuff going on, but obviously you feel like you've probably got a duty to the trainers that work for you, because you want them to do well and you want them to succeed and give your customers a good experience. Like, how do you share your experience of what you've learned with them to try and help them succeed? Do you spend time doing that? And if so, like, what do you share with those guys?
Yeah. So, you know, there's multiple ways we've done that. You know, currently we've got some really good courses that we believe that should be like a benchmark for every coach walking in our facility. And one of them is the Training Think Tank course. Those guys are absolutely spectacular what they do. It's an online course. And I think that is a really good entry level course. I'm not saying it's the only course, but I think it's a really good starting point where I'd want all my training team to do that. So we've put some money together to make sure that all my training team are on the courses that they want to do. So we put some money towards our education. The second thing we do, you know, like I said, a lot of dialect with your coaches, a lot of structure. You know, where do you want to be? How are we going to get there? What are we going to achieve by that? And then The third is, I don't know, and hopefully if you ever got one of my trainers on here to speak, like, we just give them a really good open platform to develop their own businesses. We really kind of, you know, there'll probably be some really successful business owners on this podcast that will go, what the hell are you doing, mate? But for me, I don't charge my trainers any off the top for doing any PTs at my place. All that money's their own. I don't charge them rent, anything else. They get paid per hour to do the CrossFit coaching. And for that, I give them the most valuable thing that I've got, which is a key to the business. And that key to the business is, like, as soon as you've got a key to my gym, you've now got basically, you know, everything that you need to go and set up your business from the ground level. Because, you know, when I started out in the industry, I had to pay, you know, between £600, £800 and £900 a month to work in the industry. You know, these guys, I'm trying to give them a really big open platform to just build the businesses up and build that platform from there. So, you know, whether that's a nutrition business, gymnastic business, weightlifting, body composition, all the different things that my coaches do, I try and allow them just that kind of free reign to do it.
Okay, awesome. So I just want to touch on one thing before we kind of wrap it up, because I'm noticing mindset is like a huge thing and plays a big role in my coaching with personal trainers and just myself personally. Like, I practice a lot of mindset stuff to make sure that I'm really getting the most out of the day and I'm moving forward in the direction I want to do. Like, can you share any of your views on mindset of building a business or coaching people, or even if it plays a role in your business and you make a conscious effort to kind of think about those things as well?
Yeah, of course, absolutely. I think one of the big things for me in terms of mindset is placing yourself outside your comfort zone, because I think most people are really comfortable just doing what they like to do. So, you know, let's take Instagram for instance. I always see loads of people filming themselves working out. They're filming themselves with the top off at the mirror. They're filming themselves what they're eating and so forth, because, you know, they've got that mastery. So they're showing off the mastery. Cool. You know, that's what you do. But in terms of your client's mastery, yeah, everyone does the before and after pictures and stuff. But you need to be more than that. You need to be more. If you want to be successful in the industry, you need to, even though, you know, I'm kind of contradicting myself in some ways, because as I was saying before about having your opening and closing shop hours, you also need to be willing to make sure you've got that graft. So, you know, everybody's willing to do that graft. Cool. Your next step from there is, well, how do you build your business? Well, you've got to communicate. How do you get your message out there? Well, everyone's doing Facebook ads. Everyone's got an Instagram page. What do you do? Are you willing to pick up the phone and actually ring up a business and make some links, maybe do some health and wellness stuff with them? Are you willing to go out there and kind of put yourself on the line? Because it's really easy just to go, oh, you know, I have that fear factor of putting your toe out there. So you need to kind of be thinking outside of the box with your business and thinking, how can I get new people? How can I get a new audience? How can I get people in? And how can I create that little tribe of people that I can train and kind of bring through? So I think for me, on the mindset point of view, it's stop thinking about what you're good at and start thinking about maybe what you could do work on. You know, for me, it's like social media. I just need to get better and better at that, things like that. For you, it might be, some people, it might be education. For some people, it might be lifestyle coaching, all this kind of stuff. It's just, but I think the mindset is you've got to kind of take yourself out of your comfort zone and get out there and start finding some clients. Don't have a field of dreams option. So the field of dreams model for me is that build it, they will come. Nah, that's not going to happen. Like, you know, you need to create a tribe of people that will scream and shout so loud that they'll bring in people for you. And to get that tribe, you need to get out there and start basically building up that business. And sometimes that might mean making a phone call that you don't want to make, but I guarantee you sometimes it'll go a lot better than you thought it would. Especially if you've got something to offer, if you're confident in your abilities and you really think you can add value to someone's life, and you're not ringing somebody up and selling them some crap over the phone. You know, you're not an automated call center. You're basically somebody that wants to help somebody change their lives. That's, you know, that's an admirable call. So do it.
Yeah, don't be scared of it. 100%. I think a lot of people kind of doubt the fact that they can get the results, and that's probably the problem. And they feel like they're not worthy of getting the business, and so it prevents them from going out and getting the business because they don't want to get the business because they feel like they can't get the results. So they kind of need to work on their results, but they need to do that by getting the business. So it's kind of like a paradox.
Totally. And that's where people get, you know, that's where I see trainers getting stuck. You know, they're walking up and down the gym floor. They've asked everybody a question. I'm like, have you asked them a question or have you just had a chat with them? Because sometimes just engaging in a proper conversation will then relinquish those barriers and just start getting like some deeper questions, which might lead into training. You know, if you know, I've seen it when it's so back in Total Fitness days, people would, you know, you'd see some trainers made it and a lot of wouldn't, and that the turnover of people that didn't make it was scary. And it was the people that used to basically spend 20 minutes on the gym floor, look around, oh, there's nobody in today. I'll just go off and I'll go and do something in town and I'll come back. And you see them basically coming in and out all day and not really doing much with it. It's like, you know, go downstairs and ask a membership how many people they've signed up today. Go and ask if you could give all those people a free PT session, or, you know, even if you don't want to give something away for free, maybe just a consultation over the phone, you know. Try and change someone's lives by, you know, showcasing what you can do rather being scared and just waiting for people to come to you. I think, you know, that's probably, you probably get this on that podcast all the time, so it's probably like, you know, talking to the, preaching to the choir. But
no, here's the thing though, right? Because I put a post out literally last night about this thing, and I called it like the biggest personal trainer killer. And it's basically what it comes down to, because I hear it on all the calls that I speak to with personal trainers, and the biggest obstacle for each one of them is the fear of rejection.
That's that's
where it starts, right? Or that's where their business doesn't start, because they're just avoiding what they need to do because they're trying to protect their egos and they don't want to be uncomfortable. They don't want to get those no's, they don't want to get rejected, and so they avoid that situation altogether, so they don't get the leads and they don't get the clients, and then they have to leave or get part-time jobs and move back in with their parents, right? But it all comes down to the fear of rejection. That's what it is, isn't it? If you break it down.
Yeah, no, totally. And you kind of, if you're going to basically go out there and become a PT, you kind of have to have a little bit of a salesman in you as well. And you don't have to be one of those sharky salesmen. You just have to be somebody that's really good at communicating and getting questions out of people and getting to know them. Because if you really care, it'll shine through and people will know it anyway. Everyone can spot the guy that's just a walking ego that just wants to train you because he wants to show you how good she is. Like, they're 10 a penny. You know, the coaches that are out there, and if it's, you know, if you really care about it, then just, you know, chat to people and don't be fear of rejection. People are going to say no. It's not for everyone. You know, our gym at the moment, CrossFit 3D, we literally have got affiliates all around us. We've got so many affiliates now that, you know, offering, you know, CrossFit the same as us. All right. But we, you know, I'd argue we're very different. I'm very confident that we offer the best CrossFit product that's out there, especially in Manchester. And, you know, it's not for me just to say we're the best like everybody else is, because everyone's saying that. So what you have to do then is you have to prove it. So, you know, what we have at the moment is your average person that comes to try out CrossFit will try out 4 or 5 affiliates before we actually join, because, you know, we offer a free trial cost before you come in. But we've got a really high conversion rate from that, because what we really believe in is that conversion rate is all about building that relationship from the moment that person walks through the door. And it's so important. And, you know, even just making that phone call that you're scared to do, that might build up into a really good conversation, but the fear around that conversation was so great that you never made it. So just get on the phone, ring those people. You're not trying to sell them windows or whatever else people are used to being sold on the phone. You are selling them, you know, health and wellness. Do you want to change your life? You know, that's not a nasty thing to be ringing people about. If they don't want to buy your service, that's fine. Someone puts the phone down, you're totally fine. You know, I don't do a lot of cold calling anymore. I had a really big database to work from back in the day, and, you know, some of those phone calls didn't go well, but because I had a sales background, it didn't bother me too much. But I couldn't understand why it is, because there's nothing worse than being rejected. You know, even now we can put a massive effort in with somebody and, you know, bring them through and start them up as a member, and it's just not for them. And you've got to understand that it's not for everyone. You know, the people that really like you and the people that want to stay, they'll stay forever if you look after them. But if you're never going to get someone to look after unless you step out your comfort zone and get them in the first place.
Yeah, great. I'm really glad we ended that way, because I think that is one of the key things that people really need to think about in this business, because that's really what it comes down to.
Totally.
That's going to be it, isn't it? That's going to be make or break for you if you can actually make those initiations, feel the fear, and actually just do it anyway and build a business.
No, totally. I mean, like I said, I've been in this 13 years, and what I didn't want to speak about today was, you know, like my qualifications or whatever else, because actually I spent an absolute fortune on my education. I'm really big on it. So, you know, with all my trainers, I'm big on it. So I think education is really important. And, you know, I could go into and spend a long time talking about biomechanics and understanding actual movement and understanding appropriate training. But, you know, at the end of the day, forget about that. If you just literally aren't willing to get out there and build a business around this, then it doesn't matter how much, you know, all those specialty things that you've got, that's not going to help you. In some ways it might. Depends if you get in the right gym that's just all performance orientated and people come in on that. But 9 times out of 10, people are going into mainstream gyms trying to build a business, and part of that is learn to work with people.
Yeah, 100%. Thank you so much for doing this, Mike. I really appreciate it. It's been awesome talking to you. I'm going to put some links in the show notes over to your website so people can find your gym, and also put your links to the social media, provided you're going to tidy it up and do some more work over there.
We're already on it, yeah.
Okay, awesome. So where can people find you anyway so they can go and check you out?
Hit us up at www.crossfit3d.com. That's our website. From there, we're retweaking the website as we speak. So yeah, we've got a Facebook page, Instagram page, and yeah, you can find us at CrossFit3D on both of them.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I'll put all those links in, and enjoy the rest of your day.
Yeah, you too, buddy. Thanks a lot.
Cheers. Bye. Thanks for tuning into the show. I hope you enjoyed it, guys. If you did, head over to your favorite app and leave us a short review. I'd really appreciate that. And if you wanted to learn more about our products and services, head over to coachingignited.com. And if you wanted an awesome website built for your coaching business, head over to our partner company, sevectormedia.com. That's all from me. See you soon.